email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Our next guest is a composer and arranger. He has worked with everybody from Muddy Waters, Nick Drake, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Legend, George Michael, Bjork, Rod Stewart, Tom Jones, and the list goes on. And he whistles on this.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
John Altman, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're coming to Hinterland, which is a festival of literature and arts in Kells, County Meath, between the 23rd and the 26th of June.
That's, I am indeed.
That's the important really bit out of the way, John. That's the we've done that. So where do we start? All that list of names. I want to ask you so many questions about so many people, but we'll start with Monty Python and always look on the bright side of life. So it was a half-baked song or a fully baked song when it got to you? Hello, John. John is gone. Ah.
Hello,
there you are, John. There you are. Yes, yes. I was just saying, can you hear me? No. Always look on the bright side. We play that again. Okay, let's see. 50 seconds. You have 50 seconds. 50 seconds to get them on.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side.
Take two. John Altman, how are you?
I have no idea what happened.
It's not a sketch. This is real. Okay, so when the song came to you, it was fully formed or half baked or what?
No, it was basically just Eric Idle playing guitar and singing, and that was it. And he said, "I've got an idea how we can end this film," because that was the big bugbear at the time
for The Life of Brian. Yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't know how they were going to finish it. So he thought, oh, I'll write a song. And sent it over to me on a cassette. And I put basically everything you hear on the record together. And the rest is history, including my awful whistling.
it's quite good whistling. Not everybody can whistle, John.
No, actually, it does sound pretty good. I can still hear myself above everybody else.
Yeah. You became known as the hidden man when it came to Monty Python because you were always there but never seen.
Yeah, I was involved with them from 1973 up till, I still am in a funny way.
Yeah.
I'm still in contact with everyone and... I had some wonderful times, you know, doing stage shows and films and TV and being a Mountie and singing the Lumberjack song.
You've done that, have you?
Oh, I've done that at the Royal Albert Hall. Yes, that was a highlight.
Yeah. All you've achieved and dressing up as a Mountie and singing I'm a Lumberjack and I Don't Care is one of the highlights. There you go. That says it all.
Well, I think it is. I think it's a big highlight, definitely.
I was just doing the maths on it. That means next year, John Altman, your involvement with Monty Python will be half a century, 50 years.
I know, it's scary because to me half a century ago is the First World War, you know, and suddenly...
we trick ourselves like that, don't we? I'm not getting old, yeah.
No, and then you get older and then you start talking about things that happened, you know, as you say, 50 years ago.
I'm fascinated by you, John, because I didn't know you existed until today, and now I realise that you were involved in a lot of the stuff that I've been listening to over the years. You started out in a band with Chaz Jankel. Well, that was, I think, the second band you were in, was it?
Yeah, we're all 15, 16 years old, and Rick Parnell, who just passed away, was the drummer in Spinal Tap, and Pete Van Hook, who was Mike and the Mechanics and now looks after Paul Carrick, was in the band. Mm. But we were a schoolboy band. But all the bands that I was in when I was a kid, somebody went on to do something, you know, whether it was somebody with Yes or somebody with Free or somebody with Ian Dury. You know, they all went on to bigger and better things.
Chas Jankel played with Ian Dury, didn't he?
And
he
was Yes, he wrote all his hits. And yeah. He wrote I Know Corrida for Quincy Jones.
And Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick for
Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kim Rowe, who was in the band with me, wrote Walking on Sunshine, which right. meant he never had to work again, I think.
So you're a talented bunch of 16, 17-year-olds.
Unbelievable, yeah. Yes. All around the same area and, you know, getting into music and starting to play. And
you play saxophone is your main instrument, but you arrange yeah. and compose.
Yes.
So you're a gun for hire.
I was, yes. I mean, I didn't know that I was an arranger or a composer, and these things fell in my lap, and I started doing them, and I had some success. So, right. Hey presto, there I was.
So I'm just looking, a name I didn't mention there, a huge fan of Alison Moyet, and you arranged that old devil called Love.
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the reason you ended up working with George Michael.
It was, funnily enough. Although he had known me when he was a kid and I was older, because his father had the restaurant next door where we rehearsed, and he would listen sitting outside, which was extraordinary. But he rang me at home, having heard that old devil called Love, and said, I've written a song in the same vein, and I'd love you to put it together for me, which was Kissing a Fool on Faith.
Let's have a listen. We could have shown them all. He was a genius, John.
Oh, amazingly. Yes, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And that's quite rare for me, because I'm actually playing saxophone on the record as well as having written the arrangement.
Ah, right.
Which is something I never usually did.
Why not?
I like to focus on the overall sound, you know, everything was right. And I always felt that when I played, I got too involved in, do I sound good? Did I play well there? You know, yeah. And you lose the overall picture. Yeah. So I would conduct, and my friends were great sax players. They would play on the record. And I had an overview of what was going on, rather than the slightly intense focus on my own playing.
Of course. That overview... you should really, surrender your body to science when you go, because I would imagine your brain is constructed differently to the rest of us, because you can see and hear an arrangement in your head.
Yes. I've always been able to sort of sit at a table and write an orchestral arrangement and know what it's going to sound like.
Amazing.
Very strange. I should be locked up, I think.
And was there any formal training for that?
No. I could just always... I come from a family of musicians and arrangers, and I just... As soon as I started hearing music, I heard it in its component forms as well as its full form, you know. So I could say, well, the violins are doing this, the violas are doing that, yeah. There's a cello here and a bassoon there and the brass section here, and which stood me in good stead in the early days, because I would do a lot of transcribing for BBC Variety, for example. So somebody like the Stylistics or even Telly Savalas would come over from the States and not have any music. And I would get a cassette of their record and write down what was on the record. So they had an arrangement.
Yes.
And then they could go and do Top of the Pops or the Two Ronnies or whatever the show was.
Yeah, wow. So you could deconstruct it in your head and write, brilliant.
Yeah, I would just play the cassette and hear exactly what was going on and write it all down.
I'm going to play a little piece of music here, and you're going to tell us the story of the recording of it after we hear it.
so still. So peaceful until
here comes the band.
You fall in love. Simple.
Bjork and her version of "It's So Quiet," which you arranged.
Yes, it's my big band playing.
Yes, and one take, I believe.
First take.
Yeah.
Live.
And that's what we hear when we play it on the radio.
And that's it. Yep. What you hear is exactly what happened in the studio, and the reason for that, afraid to say, what I'm pleased to say, actually, in the end of the day, is that she arrived in the studio with 10 minutes left in the recording session. So we could really only do one take and hope for the best. And she nailed it. Well, not only she nailed it, but the band nailed it.
The band nailed it. That's
extraordinary.
Yeah.
She sang in a booth. I could hear her. The rhythm section could hear her. The brass players and sax players sitting in the main part of the room couldn't hear her. All they could hear was the drums, and everybody was watching my conducting.
Wow.
It's just so bizarre.
That's a great story.
To think that talk about, you know, you're on the ice. That really was, you're on the ice.
Yeah.
You know. But we got there. We did it.
You arranged the arrangement of Hey Manhattan by Prefab Sprout, which is lush and lovely and gorgeous. You've done, people will know, well, they won't know, but when they're watching some of their favourite movies, you've been responsible for music on GoldenEye and Titanic and other things. And yet you could walk in here, or you could walk into your local pub, well, maybe not your local pub, but a pub in Dublin, and nobody would recognise you, John.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, when I joined years ago, I joined Hot Chocolate as an auxiliary member.
Now, hold on. I tell you what, they've just told me we're running out of time. When John Altman is in town, would he come in and bring his saxophone with him, and we'll continue this conversation? And I'm completely in agreement if you take up our offer, our invitation.
Absolutely.
You will.
No, I'd love
Great.
To.
Brilliant.
I've got so many stories.
Yes.
And they're all in my book.
Yes, and I'll have read the book by the time you come in. Just a thing, I got an email this morning at 8:30 from a friend of mine to tell me that, did you know there is no bass guitar on Prince's When Doves Cry? I'll leave you with that piece of information, John, to take away.
Right. And of course, I played with Prince.
You did. See, there you go.
Story.
So, the Hinterland Festival of Literature and Arts, you can hear all of John's stories. And it's in Kells County Meath from 23rd, 26th of June. John Altman, thank you very much for the moment. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Bye now. That's it from us. Sarah's on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.